Let us pray. As we open and read your word together, we know your word is meant to change us and to change our lives. So we pray for grace to listen well, to listen for your word for us today, to consider in the presence of your Spirit how we will change our lives in response to what we hear. Be with us, move in us, and among us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. And happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. Our first portion of our scripture reading this morning is taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. This can be found on page 155 in the New Testament portion of your Pew Bible. Reading from Romans chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. This is the word of the Lord.
John Foreman is, for my peers and many in my age group, the voice that we wished we had. An equal parts poet and prophet, John's been the frontman for the band Switchfoot for more than a decade. When asked how he gets up on stage and sings the same songs night after night after night for months or weeks at a time, this is how he responded. Tonight we sing our songs in an old theater in Fresno. And before we play a note, you'll find me praying for strength. The strength to live out a life of love and service. The strength to sing songs of hope. Because our world is splintered with fear and hatred and pain, because one individual does not define a nation, but we the people do. Because the cynic is just a dreamer with a broken heart. Because love tells a better story than my fear does. Because hope deserves an anthem. More than a century earlier, Emily Dickinson called hope the thing with feathers. And when we look at our story as it's unfolded behind us, it seems so often like hope has been elusive for a long time. Even in this morning's reading, Paul lights a torch for hope as that which does not disappoint. And its impact, I think, is bigger than even those words might suggest. Hope, he says, is so essential in the life of the Christian that it is connected intrinsically to our very salvation. Therefore, Paul begins, since we have been justified by faith, hope, it seems, is the DNA of discipleship. A Christian who does not live in hope, therefore, is not a Christian, and only a Christian can truly live in hope. Because hope is not something we do. Hope is not wishful thinking or idealistic dreaming. Hope is not pie in the sky or positive living. Hope is not manifested and cannot be faked. Hope is something that is done within us that makes us passive participants. Hope is the Spirit of God constantly and consistently making us holy. What theologians call sanctification, and what we reflect on here in this season of our church's life as discipleship. So why is this important? I think there are two reasons this is important. First, because we need to be a people of hope now more than ever. Uncertainty, insecurity, and doubt are the rhythms of our age. And on a more personal level, who we are, where we're going, and when we'll get there are the questions that define this season of our life as a church together. And so into that anxiety and into that uncertainty, the Spirit of God calls the church to do one thing and one thing only. Hope. Hope. Let the Spirit of God work in your mind and your heart and find there your rest. It's important for a second reason, though, because if hope is not something that we do, then we need to understand how we can become a people of hope. The simple truth is that the church cannot be the instrument of hope that it needs to be in the difficult times facing our world if the people that make up the church are not people of hope themselves. And if that makes you want to throw up your hands and say, I thought you just said that hope isn't something we do, then stay with me. Because what Paul lays out for us here is a roadmap that takes us to hope. Paul's journey hits three markers on its way to hope. The reality of suffering, the task of endurance, and the cultivation of character. And taken together, these four stepping stones create the life cycle of a hopeful Christian. And just like in the real life where you didn't get a say in when or where you were born or who your parents were going to be, neither do you get a say in the life, in where the life of the disciple begins. Because the New Testament knows no world apart from suffering. It knows no picture of smooth sailing through life's hardest times. And the reality that the New Testament draws back the curtain on is the reality that our culture has worked long and hard to cover up. That no one leads a perfect life. That no one is immune to pain or suffering or loss or doubt. And there is not a single person in this room today whose life and whose world could not be turned upside down by a single phone call. We are born into a world that is fundamentally broken, and so brokenness is part of the package deal for us. Suffering is not an option. What is an option is how you respond. The Boston University philosopher Peter Kreeft argues that suffering actually draws us deeper into discipleship because the suffering that we encounter pairs us with the God who knows our pain and knows our sorrow, the God who suffers. He argues, is not an answer, and there is not an answer, but rather an answerer. Because the answer is not a bunch of words, but rather the word. Not a tightly woven philosophical argument, but a person, the person. The answer for suffering cannot be an abstract idea because suffering is not an abstract issue. It's personal, and therefore it requires a personal response. The answer must be someone, not something, because the issue of suffering always comes back to this question, God, where are you? And his response is always right here. That's why Paul can write so confidently that suffering produces endurance. The hard times in life draw us closer to the God who knows us and knows our pain. And that's why when we try to take shortcuts out of the hard times or try to pretend like they don't exist, they seldom get better. Because in that moment, we are literally running from God. That's why Paul doesn't say rejoice through your suffering, as though there's an exit on the other side that you just have to endure until you get to. He says rejoice in it. Like the exiles in Babylon were told to plant gardens and build homes in a foreign land, Paul tells us to put down roots in the hard places because suffering produces endurance. No one wakes up today and says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to run a marathon. You start instead by jogging around your block, then maybe run a mile, 3 miles, 5 miles, 10 miles. Slowly and steadily building on a foundation, and that even until your legs hurt and your lungs burn, sticking to it long enough until you come across the finish line. Suffering produces endurance. The novelist Bob Record tells the following story of his recovery from spinal surgery. The pain was so excruciating that the hospital staff couldn't do an MRI until I was significantly sedated, and the MRI showed significant damage at three major points in the cervical spine. Because of the swelling of the injured nerve bundles, the only way I could relieve the pain was to use a strong prescribed narcotic and lie on bags of ice. Sleep, or what little there was, came only by sitting in a reclining chair. Approximately 48 hours from the onset of the injury, doctors estimated that I had lost 80% of the strength in my left arm. Three fingers on my left hand totally lost feeling, and the slightest movements would send pain waves hurtling down the left side of my shoulder. I had to step completely away from my work and wear a neck brace 24 hours a day for 5 weeks. About halfway through the experience, I was sitting on a screened-in porch behind our home, and the day was cold and blustery, but I needed a change of scenery. Suddenly, a bird landed on the railing and began to sing. On that cold, rainy day, I couldn't believe that any creature had the audacity to sing. And I wanted to shoot the bird. But he continued to warble, and I had no choice but to listen. The next day, I was on the porch again, and this time it was bright and sunny and warm, and I was tempted to feel sorry for myself when suddenly the bird, or one that looked identical, returned, and he was singing again. Where, oh where, was that shotgun? But then it hit me. The bird sang in the cold rain as well as in the sunny warmth. His song was not altered by outward circumstances, but it was held constant by an internal condition. It was as though God was quietly saying to me, "You, Bob, have the same choice. You will either let external circumstances mold your attitude, or your attitude will rise above the external circumstances. Your choice." We don't get a choice in whether or not there will be hard times. What we do get a choice in is how we will respond. Suffering produces endurance, says Paul, and endurance produces character. At the 1993 annual meeting of the American Heart Association in Atlanta, 300,000 doctors, nurses, and researchers came together to discuss, among other things, the importance of a low-fat diet in keeping our hearts healthy. Yet during mealtimes, studies showed that they consumed fat-filled fast foods like bacon cheeseburgers and fries at the same rate as people in other conventions. When one cardiologist was asked whether or not the partaking in high-fat meals set a bad example, he said, "Well, not me. I took my name tag off." Character is who you are when no one is looking. It's not about how much we can put on a show when we walk through the doors to the sanctuary on Sunday morning, or how well we can convince other people that we are the best version of ourselves that we can be. If I stand up here and tell you that I have all the energy in the world, but then go home and fall asleep before my head hits the pillow, which one of those is the real me? Which version is the real you? The version that you work hard to project as soon as you get out of your car in the parking lot, or the version that stares back at you from the other side of your mirror in the bathroom? Because that, I think, is the real test of endurance. How much does who you are when no one is looking resemble God? Now, I could stand up here and cite studies and statistics that show that you give less to charity if there's no tax receipt for your gifts, or that you do less or volunteer for less when what you do or volunteer for goes unnoticed. But those are the kind of arguments that might change your mind. And I'm up here this morning not because I'm interested in your mind, but I'm interested in your heart. And you are the only one who can do anything about that. That's why this is a discipleship issue. Because if we are a church that is in the business of cultivating character, hope will naturally flow. Character produces hope. Hope is not wishful thinking or idealistic dreaming. Hope is not pie in the sky or positive living. Hope is not manifested, and hope cannot be faked. Hope is something that is done within us, where we are made passive participants. Hope is the Spirit of God constantly and consistently making us disciples. Hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul, that sings tune without the words and never stops at all. And sweetest in the gale is heard, and sore must be the storm that could abash the little bird that kept so many warm. I've heard it in the chillest land and on the strangest sea, yet never in extremity it asked a crumb of me. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, you are the author and the perfecter of the hope that lives within us, today and every day. May we cultivate a character that reflects you and you alone. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.